Thank you, worship team. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, there is no possible way that I can stand before these precious folks and deliver the Word of God apart from you. And I ask you, Lord God, as I clothe myself with humility, that you would clothe me with ability to deliver the Word of God. I ask you, Lord, to open hearts and minds to hear the truth of your Word. I believe you've given me a devotional word this morning, Lord, that would just inspire, encourage, instruct your people. And I pray, Lord God, that that is exactly what takes place. Also pray, Lord, that it may call those who don't know you as Savior to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm not here to impress anyone nor be intimidated by anyone. I pray that I would preach the Word of God with great faithfulness. And I pray for your strength and your power. And I pray you will give folks ears to hear what you have to say today. And Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you have a copy of God's Word or have it on your phone or your electronic device. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Tuesday was a rough day for me. I'd been going from can to can't, as they used to say, for several days, as everybody was. And by that time, as you know, we were all tired and we were worn down. And I just felt the weight of the world on me. And I just felt defeated, just felt like it just wasn't making an impact, and just was very, very discouraged. And so, and then on top of that, I had to go to Walmart, which really discourages folks. And so Steph and I went, and while I was there, though, I was encouraged by Max and Joyce Wells, and just listening to them talk about, even though they are going to be displaced out of their home because a tree went into their home, and God just protected them in that and saw the strength of the Lord in their eyes. And then was just encouraged by another believer who happened to be in Walmart and just hollered something out at me that was encouraging. And so went back home, though, and I just knew that I needed some time with the Lord. And so I went upstairs to just spend some time with Him. And that morning I had read, my devotion time was in the book of 2 Thessalonians. There's three chapters in that book, and I read the first two that morning and then had my prayer time. And then I saved that third chapter until I got home. And that third chapter was exactly what I needed from the Lord. He just spoke to me, encouraged me. I really sensed that day spiritual warfare. As silly as that may sound to some, those of us who know the Lord understand the reality of spiritual warfare. And so certainly felt that. As I read the Word, God just really spoke to me and encouraged me through His Word and built me up. And I really believe He's given me three simple exhortations for us today. Maybe you have gone through a similar struggle this past week and a half or so. It's been really a life-changing experience for every one of us. Our routines have been turned upside down. Our lives have been turned upside down to a great degree. And so it's just different for us. I was telling someone the other day, I don't even feel like I'm in Chipley. I feel like I'm in a foreign country when I'm driving around. It seems like it just seems so different to me with the destruction and all the different people that are here. And, and you see the military trucks go down the road, and it just seems so strange. But I'm telling you, I hope this will be a word that will encourage you as it did me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 is the text I'm going to use and give you these three exhortations. I'll read this. I'm going to explain this text as I give you these three exhortations. So here's what the Word of the Lord says. Remember, from cover to cover, this is the Word of God. It's His revelation to us. And so here's what the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write down. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. We'll read that again. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian believers not long after he wrote his first letter to them. He's writing from the city of Corinth, the commercial capital of the Roman Empire, writes back to this these Christians in this city, probably somewhere in late A.D. 51, early A.D. 52. He had heard some struggles they were involved in. This was a very faithful church. Matter of fact, he commends this church in his first letter about how faithful they were, how dedicated they were to getting the gospel to their own town and the regions and provinces around the city of Thessalonica. So they were a faithful church, but they were also struggling. They were facing some persecutions. They were facing false teachers that had infiltrated the church and were teaching some false things about the second coming. And then also there was some in that group, in that church family, that were getting complacent. And so they had some problems, and Paul was keeping up with this, and so by the Spirit's inspiration, he writes to them to straighten some things out, give them some encouragement, and give them some instruction. And so from these first five verses I read to you a moment ago, I want to give you these three exhortations. I'll explain the original, and then I want to talk about how it really can apply to us today in what we're facing. The first thing I want you to see in verse 1 is that we must pray for our mission to be accomplished. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. He's asking, he's been instructing them, straightening some things out, and he gets to chapter 3, and he says, I want you guys to pray for us. That is his ministry team. And what he's wanting is that the proclamation of God's word would go forth and be received just as it was in Thessalonica by these believers. If you go back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, what you'll find is Paul wrote down that the gospel did not come to you in word only. It came with power and in the Holy Spirit. And those folks there in Thessalonica, even though they were under pressure not to receive the gospel, they did so with joy. Even though it would cost them and even they would suffer persecution because of it, they still embraced the gospel. And then what they did is they sounded forth the word of God. The Bible says in about verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. That is, they trumpeted the gospel of Jesus. They did so in their hometown. They took it beyond their hometown. They took it to the next provinces. So that Paul said, I have no need to go and tell what took place among you or even tell the gospel because it has sounded forth from you. Verse 9 says that these Thessalonian believers had turned from idols to the living God to serve Him. So they had been changed radically. They had received the gospel. And so Paul's saying, I ask that you pray for us that we'll have the same type of reception wherever we are and wherever we go as the gospel had among you. And so he's encouraging them to pray for his mission. And as I read that, I thought, man, that's what we need to make sure we're understanding right here where we are also. We need to be praying for our mission to be accomplished, and our mission is that we get the gospel to our community. Now, Paul said, I'm praying now, I want you to pray that the word of God would run swiftly and be glorified just as it was with you. He had a desire to take the gospel all over the known world for folks to be saved, and he had two requests. The first thing was, he prayed that it would be proclaimed and received. And secondly, he was praying that those who opposed the gospel, that they would be delivered from those people. Now, we've started a series 2 weeks ago and suddenly had to put it on pause because of Hurricane Michael. But we'll get back to it, Lord willing, next week. We talked about spiritual warfare and we talked about how that our enemies are not flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, a spiritual host of wickedness, says the word of God. And so there are people that are captivated by the enemy and used to oppose the spread of the gospel of Christ. And so what's taking place here is they're asking that there be protection from those individuals who are being captivated by the enemy and used against the spread of the gospel. For this mission to be successful, Paul knew it would take the prayers of God's people. That's just the way God's designed it. Prayer is absolutely important. And so he tells them to pray. This word pray here is a present active imperative in the original language that the New Testament was written down in. So what that means is, I'm commanding you to keep on praying. That's what Paul's saying to them. That prayer and that proclamation of God's word would really be the success of the mission. So two things for us to remember in this situation, this context that we find ourselves in today. First thing, remember is this. Our mission is to tell the gospel. And what I believe is, and I see it from the scriptures, that God allows certain things to happen so there'd be an openness to the gospel of Christ. Now, someone might say, well, why did God allow this storm to take place? Well, if it were not for the grace of God, we might have one of these things every week. Listen, he restrains so much disaster. He restrains so much evil, the Word of God says. And when there is an allowance of something like this that takes place, there is a reason behind it. And many times that reason is to advance the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 8, you'll write that down and look at it later. In Acts chapter 8, there was a persecution that broke out against the early church, and they left Jerusalem, all but the apostles, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. So the Lord allowed a persecution to take place, which dispersed and deployed the church out of Jerusalem elsewhere, and they took the gospel so other people would be saved. There was a purpose behind it. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, remember now, he writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon from a Roman prison. And he's there because he's preaching the gospel faithfully. But he realizes something. He has a perilous journey, remember, that terrible trip he had. You think you had a bad flight sometimes when it gets kind of bumpy? Listen, Paul had shipwreck where he's floating into the island of Malta on boards. I mean, he was 14 days up and down on the seas, nobody eating because they're scared to death, until God sent an angel to say to him, listen, everything's going to be all right. So he had a terrible journey, suffered all types of hardship, and so he finds himself in a Roman prison in Rome. Here's what he said in Philippians chapter 1. He said, I realize that all these things have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. He's able to preach the gospel to folks who never would have heard it without him being where he is. And so what I am convinced of is probably one of the major purposes for just allowing this to take place is so there would be an openness to the gospel of Christ. And maybe, listen, in America, even we believers get our priorities so out of whack, and we put so much importance on things that really mean nothing, when we ought to be putting our importance on our relationship with our Lord and people, the preciousness of people. And so sometimes it takes a little wake-up call for us to get our priorities in order, get our focus where it needs to be, to hone in where we need to be. But I'll tell you, we need to make sure that we're getting the good news to people. Now, we're going to do that one way by just doing what every believer ought to be doing, and that's loving people. That's what our church family has been doing these past few days, is we just want to reach out to folks and help people. I mean, that's just what you do if you love folks, isn't that right? Jesus said, there's two great commandments, love God and love others. Remember in Luke chapter 10, there was a expert in the law who wanted to question Jesus. And so he said, what do I need to do for eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what do you think? And he says, well, you need to obey commandments. Love your Lord, the Lord your God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord says, well, that's it. You've got it. Well, what did he mean by that? He's not saying if you can do that, you're going to be saved. This is impossible to keep the law, isn't it? The law helps us recognize how we can't keep the law, how we need to be saved by the grace of God. And so the realization here was that man would maybe go, I need the mercy of God. I can't do this. But soon, when Jesus kind of put him in his place, he wanted to try to justify himself instead of humbling himself. And so he said, well, who's my neighbor? And then he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. You got a guy on the road to Jericho, he gets beat up, he's robbed, he's on the side of the road, and a priest comes along. And the priest goes on the other side of the road and walks by him. He's got to get to church on time. He can't be late. He don't want to be marked tardy for Sunday school. So he's having to hurry right on along. You know, I ain't got time to help somebody. I've got to get to church. And then a Levite comes along. And you know how those ministers of music are. And they're rough. So he comes along, and then he passes by on the other side too. Then a Samaritan comes along who, you know, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't get along. But he comes along, and he begins to meet that person's needs, begins to bind up his wounds and takes him somewhere to be cared for. And what Jesus is saying is that's how you love your neighbor. You can't see your neighbor in need and just ignore that. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be leading the way and loving people, meeting needs, getting food to folks, and ministering to folks in times like this. That's just what we do. But at the same time, we do not forget what our mission is also, and that's to get the good news to people. Because there's a deeper need than just physical needs. There's a spiritual need, and only Jesus can meet that. Only He can rescue us from our sin. You see, every human being is a sinner. We know that. We've broken the laws of God. We do our own thing. It separates us from God, and we can't do enough good to get to God. So God had to come to us. And He did so in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a life we couldn't live and died a death that we deserved to die. And He took the just wrath of God for our sins upon Himself and then rose again to save whoever believes in Him. That's what everybody needs to hear, is to get the good news to folks. And so we've met physical needs. We've got to keep doing that. We've got to keep loving people because I'm telling you, when you love folks, it makes the gospel believable, doesn't it? If you walk by on the other side of the road, that's not very impressive. That's not very impressive. The gospel message is not, if that's how we're going to act. And so I really believe that God may have allowed this to take place. I mean, I don't know. He may have allowed this to take place to bring an openness, a fresh openness to the gospel of Christ. The second thing we need to do is pray. We can get so busy doing that we forget to pray. And we'll get a whole lot more done when we're doing what we're doing after we've been praying. You with me? It's amazing how productive lives can become when they're bathed in prayer. Paul said, I need you to pray for me. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. He's big time. He doesn't think of himself that way. The Apostle Paul tells this church, I need you to pray. You know why? Because that prayer mattered. And it does right now. Do you know that the relief efforts taking place across this panhandle of Florida, much of its success may be determined by the faithfulness of God's people to be obedient to help, but to pray. Well, we need to pray. We should pray for the gospel to go forth and to be received. Pray for deliverance from satanic opposition. Pray for provision for us, our community. You know, praying for God just to work out details in folks' life, providing what they need in the face of what they've lost. Pray for us to stay strengthened spiritually. How many times have you come close this past week and a half to just kind of losing it a little bit? Anybody admit that? I mean, you just kind of get ready to just throw in the towel. Last night, we're sitting there watching the ball game, and the power goes off again. And I'm going, no, Lord, no. And Wes goes outside and he sees that there's trucks and stuff down the road there. And we go out in the yard and we're all, you know, just watching them, you know, and just, you know, praying for them. And I told him, I said, if they drive off and the power's not back on, I'm going to jump on the back of their trucks. I'm going to be begging them, don't leave here till you get it back on. But, you know, you get to those points where you just have a breakdown. And then pray for us to be patient. Have your patience been tried? Even with each other. Sometimes over the last, not near as bad when it's cooler weather. When it's all hot and humid, that's when it's really bad. But thank the Lord for this cooler weather. But you know what else? Prayer is just good for us. It's good to be in the presence of God. It's good to interact with Him, communicate with Him, talk with Him, listen to Him. And prayer makes a difference. So we can't. And I'll tell you this now, if we don't have our times of prayer and time in the Word of God daily, just getting our focus where it needs to be, God speaking into us, us speaking to God, you better believe the enemy is going to make short work of us. And you'll tell it. I mean, you'll be able to tell it by our attitudes, our actions, or how we feel, everything, when that's not in order. So we need to pray for our mission to be accomplished. Second thing is we must depend on the faithfulness of the Lord. Now, Paul asked for the Thessalonian Christians to pray for deliverance from unreasonable. That word translates those who will not listen. You ever known someone, they just got a wall up. You can't tell them anything. They're unreasonable. And wicked men or people, that's what he's describing here. Now, Satan deceives people and he captivates them and he uses them against the agenda of God so often. Remember, now again, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But remember, the Lord is faithful. Paul says in this scripture, he's faithful. And so what he's saying is, the Lord's going to strengthen us. He's going to make sure that we're delivered from all opposition. He's going to allow his work and his will to be accomplished. He is going to be successful and fruitful for his glory. We're trusting him to do it because he is faithful. I'll remind you something this morning. The Lord is faithful. And just because the storm hit us, that's no negative reflection on the faithfulness of God. Again, we're never promised comfort in this life. We're never promised. Listen, I've been places. We've got folks out of our own church family who live in places where most folks don't have electricity. And they live in huts with dirt or cow dung floors. And they have to carry water a mile sometimes in jerry cans. And that's just the way it is in lots of places in the world. We're never promised comfort. We're never promised material prosperity. But those of us who've come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ are promised an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God, Peter says. See, we're living for a different day. We ought to have an eternal perspective on things. God's faithful. So let me encourage you, even though we're facing difficulties, since God's faithful, and he's been really impressing this on me in my devotion times this week. Everywhere I turn, I'm reading a passage in which it says God's faithful. So let's stay faithful. Let's stay faithful to live for him, serve him, witness for him, give for him, all those things, trusting in his faithfulness to accomplish his work. He is faithful. And I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, if he didn't hold back his son for us, there is nothing we need that he'll hold back from us. Absolutely nothing. I mentioned to you earlier about some of our sister churches. I text Brother Craig Connor last night and Brother Stephen Kyle from Highland Park, and I just said, praying for you guys and your congregations. And they both responded back. I mean, they took catastrophic damage to First Baptist Panama City and Highland Park. You got a new sanctuary. You can stand on their platform, look up, and you can see the sky. Carlisle Baptist Church, blown up. First Baptist Lynn Haven, probably have to be torn down and rebuilt. It's just devastation. St. Andrews had water standing in the worship center. First Baptist Callaway, doors blown. This is not just Baptist churches. It's all different types. I mean, we're just Brother Craig texts me back and says, well, for the second Sunday, we'll meet in the parking decks. And we'll worship, and they have parking decks for their, where they park there. And so we need to pray for them. And I was thinking about them a lot this past week and just burdened for them. But then I was reminded of something, and that is that God is faithful. That those folks belong to him. He'll take care of it. Hey, we belong to him. He'll take care of us. He's faithful. And so we're to trust him and stay faithful ourselves. So let me encourage you, depend on his faithfulness and stay faithful to him. And finally, we must live our lives in obedience to the Lord. Verse 4 and 5. In verse 4, Paul says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. You know what Paul was really desiring? This is an implied prayer right here. He's saying, I just know, because my confidence is in the Lord, he will strengthen you and enable you to do what you've been commanded to do as a believer. And then he went on to say in verse 5, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Now, what does that mean? The love of God means to have an understanding of just how much God really loves us. What I'm telling you is, we can't even grasp the magnitude of His love for us. That's why Paul prayed for the Ephesians, recorded in the book of Ephesians. I'm praying for you that you would understand the width, the height, the depth, the magnitude of His love for us. So Paul's praying, I want to direct your hearts into understanding the depth of God's love for you. And what that does is it fuels our love for Him. And when we love Him, then we love others. John says in 1 John, you can't love God and not love others. That's what he said. So, in the middle of all this, these trying times, remember to love others. And they'll try your patience, won't they? We'll get tired, worn down, and they'll try our patience. But one thing that we do when we love folks is we're long-suffering toward them. Let's love our community. Let's be an obedient people, trusting in the faithfulness of our God to meet all of our needs. I tell you, because we've been so blessed with so many resources, here's what I've discovered in my own life, and y'all are probably a whole lot more spiritual than me, so you probably don't struggle with this. But there are times, because we've been blessed with so many resources, when we don't have a certain resource or something goes a little bit out of kilter for me, then it can wreck my life if I let it. But what I've got to understand is I belong to the one true God who has all power. And there is nothing too hard for Him. And so what we're to do is trust Him in the middle of it all, praying over every detail that worries us and giving it to Him. Because I can't handle it, but He can. Can't He? Nothing's too hard for Him. So let's pray for the mission that we've been given. Let's depend on the faithfulness of the Lord. And let's live our lives in obedience to Him. Now in this room today, there could be some who have never come into a relationship with Jesus. You may believe in Him in your mind, but you've never truly accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And maybe you've just been reminded today of the fact that our sin, which we're all guilty of it, I mean, we all do that. We're all out of sorts with God because of our sin. It separates us from Him, and you can't be religious enough or do enough good deeds to overcome our sinful condition that separates us from God. We need the mercy of God. And the mercy of God is manifest through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who again came, lived, died, and rose again, so that if we believe in Him and put our faith in Him, our trust in Him as Lord and Savior, He will change us forever. He'll forgive our sins, declare us righteous before God, and we become sons and daughters of the living God. So have you called on Jesus to be your Savior? If you have not, and you sense God speaking to you today about it, you can come to me in a moment as we stand to sing and say, I need Jesus as my Savior. Others may need to just come and pray here, these altar areas or where you sit, and just praying for them, just to kind of get your life back on track. Maybe you slipped away from the Lord. You've just not been living for Him. You want to do that. Or maybe today you've got these burdens that are weighing you down. Would you put them at His feet? Here's what He desires. Just lay it at His feet. Let Him handle it. Peter said, cast your cares upon the one who cares for you. And so I want you to do that today. I want to lead us in a prayer today, and I just want you to pray along with me just for some specific things, and then we're going to stand to sing. God's speaking to you to call on Jesus to be your Savior, or you feel at that time you need to maybe come pray up here or join the church or whatever God's leading you to do, you do that. But right now, would you bow your heads and let's pray for a couple of things. Here's one thing I want us to take a moment to pray for. Let's pray for our mission to be accomplished. Let's pray today that we would love folks in our community and we would give them the greatest news of all time about God's love for them and the gospel. And so would you take a moment to do that? Pray for an openness to the gospel and that we share it and that folks receive it. Let's take a moment now and pray for us to depend upon the faithfulness of God. Whatever's burdening us right now, what's weighed us down, let's just lay it at His feet, knowing that He's faithful. Now let's take a moment and pray for us to stay faithful. Our God is faithful. Let's pray for us to stay faithful, obedient, just serving Him. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm very grateful, Lord, for all the folks you brought here today, for us just to worship you and encourage each other and fellowship with each other. I pray we're careful, Lord God, today as we dismiss here in a little bit to just spend some time talking to one another and just fellowshipping and encouraging one another. And I just pray, Lord God, for us to be faithful to you, Lord, because you're so faithful. And Lord, I pray you'll meet the needs that we have. Every one of us in this room, we're weak human beings, and we need you, Lord. And I pray you'll take care of every person's need in this room, Lord. And you know it. It's probably been lifted to you already. I just pray you'll take care of it. I pray, Father, you'll accomplish your mission through us, that we get the good news to people. And I pray that through this terrible tragedy that's happened in our region, that people will find that you love them, Lord, and they will be drawn to you, and they will be saved and given an eternal inheritance that no hurricane could ever wreck. And so I pray, Lord God, we'll be your mouthpiece in that too, Lord. I pray for our sister churches in Bay County and other counties, Lord, that have experienced destruction. I pray for you to provide for them, Lord, and I pray you encourage those congregations this morning, Lord. I pray they'll stay together and stay focused in on Lord, what you have for them to do in their region. Lord, I don't know what all is going to happen through this, Lord, what all you're going to allow to take place, but I just pray, Lord God, it will advance the kingdom. And now, Lord, if there's folks here today that need to come to know you, I pray that during this time of invitation, they will come to Christ. And I pray, Lord, for you to work strongly in people's lives. In Jesus' name.